David had his life in order, didn't he? Killing lions, bears, giants, defeating all of Israel's enemies, and making Israel great. So that God even used him as a type or as a symbol of what the Christ is to be like. How or why was David able to do all these things? Psalm 13 shows that David confessed freely his total and exclusive dependence on God, showing himself to be a mere man who had struggles. Even some of the same struggles that we have in life. We all have burdens, but he took his burdens and cast them upon the one who cares for us. Yet sometimes as we wait for God, it is forever, at least it so seems, before he acts. Why is it that winter seems longer than summer? Why is it that a week in jail would seem like a week longer than on vacation? In Psalm 13, beginning at verses 1 and 2, David expresses how he feels that God has forgotten him. And here's what he says. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Now look at how David views his present grief. He views it as it seems to be. That is, God, it seems like it's been forever, as it really is. That is, God had hidden his face from him. He couldn't see God's face. Also, as it was affecting him within, he talks about taking self-counsel, and how it was affecting his foes outside, who are looking for a reason to rejoice and to be exalted over him. In Isaiah 49, the Lord emphasizes that he will not forget his people. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves of this truth in Isaiah 49. During those hard times in life, so that our faith and patience will not decrease, but increase. Listen to the words of Isaiah 49, verses 15. And 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. In other words, there's a possibility that it could happen. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Now granted, the chance of a woman forgetting her nursing child, I mean, that just doesn't typically happen. Typically, a woman remembers. Well, even more than that mother, God says, I will not forget you. I will always remind you. I mean, you're inscribed on the palms of my hands. That's what he says to his people. Psalm 30 speaks words of encouragement for those times when we are convinced that God is not taking care of us. Psalm 30, verses 5 and 6. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So in other words, a hidden face does not mean that the heart has forgotten. Maybe we can't see God's face. Maybe David couldn't see God's face. But that doesn't mean that God has forgotten. Back there in Psalm 13, David's weight convinced him that God had forgotten. It seemed like a million years. It seemed long enough that he knew the all-knowing God had forgotten him. The end of verse 1 sounds as though he thinks God is ignoring him. We cannot see God, but we see his actions. So if he is not answering with actions, it must be that the all-caring God is not watching, that he's not acting. But God was there. David's vision was blurred by the storms of life's trials. Verse 2 shows David relying on his own counsel. Like perhaps you'll remember King Saul, as he grew impatient waiting for Samuel to arrive at the appointed time. And for some reason Samuel was late. And the result was that Saul took counsel in his own heart and did something that was wrong. And undoubtedly David knew that, as well as other incidences in Israel's history, and he didn't want to repeat them. So how long, God, how long do I have to begin to think about taking counsel myself? I don't want to do that. I want your counsel. So you can see David torturing himself in his soul. He cannot understand the exaltation of his enemies, as also stated in verse 2. They are wicked believers who do not care for the things of the Spirit. How then can God let them be exalted? It is humiliating when you are doing what is right and they are doing what is wrong, but they prosper and you suffer. He doesn't understand that. Now, if you look at verses 1 and 2, you'll see with his questions how he builds intensity. He starts off with a simple question: how long? Then he expresses that he feels forgotten. Then he thinks that God's face is hidden from him. Then he resorts to self-counsel. And then he's followed by daily sorrow. And finally is contemplating his enemies rejoicing over him. Just the questions just intensify the agony that he's experiencing at this time. But notice, David does not question whether God will help. It is just when God will help. When are you going to help, God? You know, life is a journey because we're always on the move. We go through valleys and over mountaintops. And we just cannot stay on the mountaintops of life forever. We have to move on, and that takes us down into a valley. But there's always another mountaintop on the other side. Now let's look at verses 3 and 4, where he makes a plea before defeat comes. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David just wants to understand God's seeming delay. You can tell that David truly believes that God sees, that he hears, and that he works. And having confidence of these things, he only wants to understand by having his eyes enlightened, what is God's will? Just let me understand what's going on here. He wants to see, although he thinks that God does not see. He needs more understanding before death overtakes him. if he can only know before he leaves this life what was going on in this particular incident. How unpleasant to die believing that the enemy has won and that God has forgotten you. He needs understanding before his enemy claims victory. Well, you know, sometimes there is a reason for our enemy's supposed victory. And perhaps that's all that David just wants to know. If my enemy is going to have victory over me, then I just want to understand why. I mean, even Babylon defeated Judah. But Judah, I mean, that was the nation of God. Well, why? Why did God allow Judah to defeat, Babylon to defeat Judah? Why did it appear that Satan beat Jesus at the cross? You know, there's reasons for these things, and he just wants to know them. He needs understanding before his enemies rejoice at his being moved. It's almost as though he's saying, now God, I'm about ready to slip here. I've maintained my principles. I stood in my position. I stood for what is right, and I'm about ready to be moved. And my enemies are going to be happy about that, and I just need to understand again what is going on here. Again, you can see his intensity building. He fears death, but he fears more the prevailing of his enemy. And he fears more than that his enemy rejoicing over him. Nevertheless, look what he does in verses 5 and 6, where he expresses confidence in God's help. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In spite of everything that David's written in verses 1 through 4, he is confident that God will help. I mean, after all, God had before. He himself, in other psalms, reminds us of how God has helped him before. Or perhaps you remember that time as a young man, maybe even a teenager, when he comes before King Saul. And he wants to take up the challenge of fighting against Goliath. And Saul, being a wise king, is thinking, now here's this boy who wants to fight this experienced warrior who's a huge man, almost 10 feet tall. How do you think you are going to defeat him? And he says, you know, when there was a lion attacking my sheep or a bear, I'd kill that animal. I'd even rescue the sheep right out of the predator's mouth. And he says, I'd grab it by its beard and kill it. And he explained that it was God who was enabling him to do that. So it's almost as though as David's writing this psalm, you can see him being troubled, you can see him struggling with whatever the problem was. And then he starts to remember, oh yes, my God's helped me before. He has promised to help me that when I'm in the right, he'll be with me and he'll help me to be victorious. He's helped me with these animals. He's helped me with all the enemies of Israel. He's helped me with this and that. I know that he'll help me in this situation too. David, a man after God's own heart, does not lead a trouble-free life. But God is with him, developing his character and strengthening his faith through all parts of his life. Now, do you see what is happening to David in this psalm? He goes from despair to confidence because of prayer. That's what's changed him. Praying to God. As he thinks about God and thinks about his situation in the prayer, he himself, it's as though he's teaching himself. And he begins to see the light. Through believing prayer, God gives him joy. And his belief surpasses his anxiety. It's as though there was a race. There was his anxiety, and it was winning the race. But as he remembered God's promises, remembered what God's done in the past, the belief just jumped out in front, and it stayed in front. And he ends up being joyful in the end. He is now ready to sing to God, knowing of God's graciousness. Now, can you detect a change in his mood here? Just look at him back in verse 1 again. How long? How long are you going to forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? And then look at verses 5 and 6. I trust in your mercy. My heart rejoices in your salvation. What a dramatic change. The time of gloomy days is over. And the time of singing birds was now, or is now. David's heart, it seems as though, was more often out of tune than his harp. But when his heart was in tune, he sang majestically to the Lord. Even while he waits on God, even while the enemy contemplates victory and celebration, David had inside information on how things will end. And I think God put this in the Bible so we can know the same thing for us. Yes, there's times when it just seems like we're being beat down. We're on the losing end and we don't understand why. It doesn't make sense. But look at David. Look at Psalm 13. God will carry us through it. This is faith. God has promised victory to David, and so he believes it. Even before it is obvious. Now, there may be questions coming out of his heart, a heart full of anxiety at this point, but that leads to crying to God in prayer. And then it concludes with a singing faith. Therefore, David will sing to the Lord. Because he's a good singer? Because he knows music? No. He tells you exactly why in these verses that he's going to sing. Look at verse 6. I'm going to sing because of how God has dealt bountifully with me. That is what's going to move me. And brother, I'd encourage you, if you would look at your own life and see how God has helped you to get to where you are today, you will be moved and you will have reason to sing to God. You'll want to sing to God. Now again, look at the whole climatic intensity of this psalm. He starts with a protest, which leads to a prayer, and it ends with praise. This is the action of faith. This protest is presented to God, not to idols or some competitor of God's, but it turns into an actual prayer for help. And knowing to whom he is praying, his fears are calmed. And confidence of deliverance is assured. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet preached a message that David learned. And we need to learn also. If you have ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire, there's a certain part of the movie where the main character of the movie has decided that he's not going to run at a certain part on Sunday. And he doesn't want to miss worship service. So they have him up in the pulpit reading scripture, and it shows flashes between him reading the scripture and the unbelieving Jew against whom he often runs against, just having a horrible time in the Olympics in 1924. And the passage of scripture that I believe was Eric Little, I think was his name, was reading, is what I want to read to you right now. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? In other words, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord? And my just claim is passed over by my God? The response is this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. David thought that the Lord's face was hidden from him. But it was only David's problems that blurred his vision. Just like a storm. When you cannot see very far, but there's things out there. Just because you and I cannot see them doesn't mean they're gone. They are there. Likewise, the struggles we experience have a tendency to blur our vision, and we cannot see. God is there. He's carrying us through the storm. He's making sure that we weather. We can't see Him, but He is there. Let Psalm 13 cause you to hear the music that faith makes in the soul. There is no sweeter music than what comes from the strings of the heart. The long length of David's sorrow was only apparent. His human impatience made it seem long. What is the cure for sorrow? One man said this: good food from God's table, old wine of promises, walks with Jesus, exercise in good works, avoidance of everything unhealthy. David's turning point can be our turning point. Open your heart to God, revealing your thoughts and your emotions. Cry to Him of your troubles, and He will hear. And maybe you want to cry to us of your troubles, or at least of a request for help. Maybe you have a struggle, you're just thinking, well, I need the prayers of righteous people praying for me because I know that they avail much. And if we could pray for you, brother or sister, or help you in any other way in your struggles, please come forward and make that known to us now as we stand and sing.